The following message is from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about us, visit livingwatersmn.org.
I'm going to do a little family talk, okay? Pretend you're in my living room. We're just having a little coffee. Just do a little family talk before I actually start to preach. I want to introduce in my basket of diamonds that I got at Prince of Peace when I moved. Here's one of the biggest diamonds I brought with me this weekend. Diane, would you stand? Diane Frisch. She is my counseling pastor, and on several occasions when she's had a cancellation, I just slip right in there. It's really good. I've had the privilege of having her train me in another format called Restoring the Foundations, and that's been awesome. This has been an awesome time. For those of you who don't know me, I went to church here for a while. As I like to say, Bob, this is the church I grew up in. And still grown up in. and the Lord moved me last year to a church called Prince of Peace in Tomahawk, Wisconsin. Beautiful area. And I went out of obedience, and lo and behold, I enjoy it. And lo and behold, I do stuff every day that I can't do, and I love that. I went to work the first day, I think it was May 7th, if that's a Monday, and sat in there and went, wonder when the real pastor's going to show up and be really irritated that I moved my stuff in his office. And the Lord spoke to me that day, and he said, you don't have to do everything first. Because those that know you, I like to do everything first. And that's a word for somebody today, that we don't have to do everything first. I want to speak a little bit about what I see here now. This is good for my soul to be here. This is so good for my soul to be here, I have to tell you. This weekend, Friday and Saturday, Diane came and ministered at Youth Alive. Had an amazing time, just a beautifully amazing time. God did wonderful things, just wonderful things. But I walked in and I felt the newness and the freshness. It felt like laundry hanging on the line. And today, the Lord showed me pearls. He showed me a string of pearls, and I know this church has so often talked about the, I can't remember the word that you use, but the kind of the film, for lack of a better word, the film between heaven and earth. And what I saw was the pearl of great price. The one we talked about and sang about today, the pearl of great price being the big pearl that got pulled through that. And I see various smaller pearls being pulled through there. And this is a time the Lord is bringing such beautiful pearls to Living Waters. It's so exciting to see, and the freshness and the newness and the anticipation and the Lord moving the pieces around on the game board. It's a very exciting time, and I tell you, I have taken Prince of Peace with me. I mean, all of you have made me who I am. You really have, in our friendships and in our tough times together and our wonderful times together, our mission trips, our prayer times. I could not be doing the job I'm doing now without what happened, what came before. And so I really appreciate all of you, and I appreciate being here. This is an amazing time. It's been a tough time. It's been an amazing time. It's been a good time. It's glorious because I've been there now. I think this is going on my 9th month, I think. I've spent almost all of January gone. I was in Ukraine and then was gone for a conference last week and a conference this week. So I've been gone a lot in January. But in that time when I was there, we had more than 9 speakers in 7 months. Some of whom, like Bob, have been there more than once, and Dave's been there. And there has just been a flood of newness in the North Woods of Wisconsin. And it's been thrilling and exciting, and we've brought so many things. God has graced us with a marvelous network and has been able to bring so many amazing, beautiful things that has changed that community. And one of the things I believe that I take with me because of the DNA of this community is something that is going to move the hearts to unity in the different churches. That has not been a profound move as yet in Tomahawk and in that area, but it's coming. And we're beginning to have more and more people come to our conferences out of the church. And we're really excited about that. So what a great, great time. I enjoy it more than I thought, and it's more work than I thought. They couldn't afford me if they paid me by the hour, but that's going to change. I'm determined. That is not my New Year's resolution. That's my Jesus correction. So that sticks better than a New Year's revolution. Either way, you want to play that. Either way. All right. So much today that God is going to do. Anyway, I'm glad to be back. It's really good for my soul. Good for my soul. My spirit is so okay, but sometimes my soul flags, and I just need just a different kind of nourishment. So see so many faces and seeing new babies. Congratulations. And all your baby fats off. Good job. For those of you who don't know, that's funny because she didn't birth that baby. But she looks good. What a time. Lord, how you love. And you are the one thing, Lord. And with you, one thing, as we focus on that, we see what you bring to us. You see how you change us. We see how, wow, God, you are glorious and you are good. We anticipate today you. We anticipate your changing us from glory to glory. We anticipate your healing us. We anticipate a deeper revelation of who you are so we can have a deeper revelation of who we are. You're good, good God. And Father, I submit this whole time to you. I thank you, Lord, for the words that you want to speak today. I thank you for letting me be the vessel to speak them. I want to be sensitive to you. And we love you, Lord, and we give you this time. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord had given me, I just spoke on the brain this weekend at Youth Alive, and we just had a great time. It was, right, Elizabeth? It was fun. It was a smaller group than usual, and at first I was a little disappointed, but then I realized, I think there were about 40 kids. Is that where we decided? Something around that? And it was so good, because all of the things that we did activities, we did projects, we watched, video bits, all kinds of things. But one of the ideas that God gave me, which I know, he's more clever than I am, so I give him all the glory for this. He gave me this idea to do prophetic art with foil. So I didn't tell anybody what we were doing. I just said, you're going to get this hunk of foil, and I'd encourage you, try this. It's amazing. It's amazing. So everybody got this hunk of heavy-duty foil, and I said, okay, here are your instructions. Close your eyes, wait on the Lord, see what he wants you to make, and then make that. And then we got into groups of three. So then the instructions were, the person to your left, give them the foil thing you just gave. And the person not doing anything is going to write notes of your, or in this modern world of technology, all the kids pulled out their iPhones and recorded them, which is a better idea. And it was amazing, the stuff they got. It was just amazing. But one of the things that I loved, there was a girl right here. I was wandering around watching everybody. There's a girl right here who made this amazing bride out of foil. And I said, you can add anything you want, put anything on it, you can mark on it, you can add this, that, and the other thing. And she made this glorious bride, and somehow she made a heart out of tissue. This tissue heart. She had a tissue veil on it, and then she had a little Jesus tucked into the pocket of the heart. And I thought about that as we were singing this morning, and I thought about the one thing that we have in us, the one good thing. That's the one good thing in us. We can't take credit for anything. He's the one good thing tucked right in there. He's in our heart, and yet he fills, as we have a revelation of it, he fills every part of that. Would my lovely assistant Ashley come here, please? See, we are twins. I don't know if you noticed that. Tuck under my arm there. Yes, we are twins, and I'm going to prove it. Because I brought with me this morning, and I did weigh myself this morning, none of your business. But here, we're going to, here, come on, come in. There we go. Okay, would you please stand on that? Don't anybody look, just me. I told I was going to look. That's what boots on.
They're light as a feather.
Yeah. They have to be, otherwise you couldn't pick your feet up, darling. You know what I noticed, though? You know what I noticed when she weighed herself? Again, we weigh exactly the same. John, would you come here, please? Would you be so kind? I know you've worked one of these before. Would you be so kind? And would you measure me, my height, not my girth? Would you measure me? And then measure your wife, please, okay? And then don't say anything. Just whisper in my ear the number for both of us. Okay, I'm standing straight. Okay, tell me the number. That's what I thought. Okay. And, okay. 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 Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, I see that. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you for your assistance. It's as I thought. She's the same height as I am. Who knew? Who knew? This is a revelation the Lord gave me on the way over here. He said, here's the thing. Everybody weighs the same and everybody's the same height. We just have different degrees of revelation how tall and how fat we are. And when I say fat, I'm using the biblical term, the fatness of the bones. That's a good thing. Who knew? It is not a matter of the weight. It's not a matter of the height in the natural. It is the revelation you have of your size. It's so exciting to me because absolutely every one of us weighs the same. Because the Spirit of the Lord, when we have within us the Spirit of the Lord, he evens out the height and the weight. And so when I feel like the Lord is saying so very often, and this is something that I've really tried to bring into the church at Prince of Peace, not in using these words, because the Lord just gave me this as Diane and I were talking. I get a lot of revelation as I'm talking things out, so she's driving and I'm writing. But this is what I want to bring to the church I pastor. Which, by the way, when people call pastor, I still look around for him, and it's me. Who knew? But the revelation I want to take to all of the people in the church is that they weigh the same as I do. They're the same height. And as we get healed, we get the revelation of that. So I believe that the church the Lord is calling the church to stop being jealous for other people's height and weight. And to operate in your revelation. Now, we all have different functions. We all have different callings. We all have different giftings. I'm not talking about that. But we weigh exactly the same in the Spirit. So if you get one of those scales, you know, that balance like this, I don't care. Seriously, I weighed myself this morning in the natural. This may surprise you, Ashley, and I do not weigh the same. But in the spirit realm, we are ba-boom. Yeah. And it is so much fun to have the revelation and ever-increasing revelation of what you have in you. It's such a delight because it becomes more fun. And do you know, I remember the first time I've done public speaking for a long time, even before I became a Christian, but I remember the first time that I was asked to speak at a woman's meeting, and it was at on School Street. What? The Alliance Church, thank you very much. It was the first time I really did a women's meeting, and I prepared, and then I rearranged my notes, and the day of, I remember driving back home, and I said, "Lord, I'm not ready." He goes, "I know." He said, "Go home, take a nap. I'm ready." So that has sort of become my pattern now. I take a nap. Amen. Yeah, amen. We got a big amen. Because, you know, the word says, my mind instructs me in the night. And what am I doing at night? Sleeping. So I can prepare. And I can eat. And I can be nourished. And it's gotten easier and easier and easier. It was a lot of hours. Diane shared some, but I did most of it. I was tired. Yeah, I was tired, like it's time to go to bed because I haven't slept very, very long for a couple of nights. But as I'm learning more and more what I really weigh, it's so much easier. It's so much more fun. I preach and I teach and I do these things and I'm like, I need to get a pen because I didn't know I knew that. And I'm a note taker. I like to write things down. And I love that. I love that because he's going to teach us how 100% of the stuff that comes out of our mouths comes from heaven. And it's delightful. It's a lot of fun. It's less exhausting. I just got back from my 13th trip to Kryvyi Rih, Ukraine. And we had a blast. I'm going to share a little bit about that. I'm really excited. I feel like the Lord told me I couldn't go when Brian and Renee were going, which that was a tough decision for me. But I like to be obedient because it has such marvelous rewards. And a lot of times if I'm disobedient, I clunk my head up against the wall, not because God did that, because I did that. So I like to be obedient. But anyway, my church will be going back this summer as well. I'm going to be leading a team. It looks like maybe 10. But man, it was fun. It was fun. And just one of the sweetest times I had. I'm just going to share this. You guys are family. And Pastor Gregory and I have, from the very beginning, been like brother and sister. I'm just saying. And I'm the younger sister. Oh my, was it glorious. One of my fondest personal things this time. We're standing in a group picture. For those of you who've been to Ukraine, you know Pastor Gregory has never, probably in his life, had a meeting in his office with fewer than what, Ken? 10 people? That's a small group, you know? So there are the usual number in there, and we're talking and whatever. And now we're going to take a group picture, and Pastor Gregory and a couple of others are sitting in front. And I'm standing directly behind him, and he doesn't speak much English, more English than I speak Russian, which wouldn't be much. And he goes like this to me, and I go over and I put my hand on his shoulder, and vehemently he shakes his head, and he goes like this. And one of my most precious things that I brought home from Ukraine is me holding my brother's hand in that picture. Just so beautiful. And there are wonderful things going on there. It's so much fun to see the things that teams like Wayne and Mary and Brian and Renee and so many others have gone over, the fruit of the beautiful things that are growing. And Max, I can't even begin to tell you. I'm on his board. I cannot keep up. I mean, there were so many surprises, so many things, and it's a whole new world to go over there with him having a car, and only two of us. It was great. We did wonderful things, and it is true. I wasn't kidding. They prepared 900 and some bags of toys and candy and fruit, and I know many, many of you contributed into that. I know Wayne and Mary were collecting for that. 1,000 kids, and they all got bags, and there were some left over. That's some good math. That's some good math. And It was really awesome because, and I know so many others, Ken and his teams and so many other people have been over there, and Carrie's been over there, and the things they've planted, and I love what they know about healing, because I hardly ever laid hands on anybody for healing, but I had a word of knowledge, very specific word of knowledge, for left ears. And all around the sanctuary, people with left ear problems stood up, and I said, okay, church, look, pray. You guys have really taught me that, have helped me with that so much. I am not responsible. I'm like the most irresponsible person in the world. And the church prayed. And so I said, okay, who got some measure of healing? Just wave your hands all over the sanctuary. People waving their hands. Left ears. Left ears? It was like, okay. And then afterwards, you know how this goes. Anybody who's been there, you make a little opening for anybody to come up for altar ministry, and they're all up there. And then they go to the next person's line. It's fun. I love it. Would we be that hungry? But I start to get a little tired, and so my line's getting longer and longer and longer, and Paula and Sue, the women that were with me, they were having a blast. They've never experienced this before, and they're just having a good time. I'm getting a little weary in my line, and you know, of course, they've known me for now 12 times, 13 times, and I'm waiting, and you know, I know the routine, so, but and my soul's a little tired, my body's a little tired, my feet are a little tired. And I look, and there's this long line, and people are waiting, and I, you know, what do you want? Well, just bless me, and then my prophetic kicks in, and then I start, and then they hear that the prophetic is flowing, and then I've got a longer line, and whatever, so I'm like, I got to be irresponsible here, and this one girl waited in line, one of the last ones in the line. Beautiful girl in a stunning coat. Her hair just kind of flowed into the fur of her collar. Beautiful girl. And she said, I said, what would you like prayer for? And she said, nothing. I stood in line to tell you, for 16 years, I've been totally deaf in my left ear. She pulled back her ear. I saw the scars from her recent surgery. And she said, today, the Lord healed my ear completely. And that, my friends, my family, is born out of this sweet, sweet irresponsibility of knowing what you weigh. I used to just run myself ragged. Anytime I did a conference, I had to prophesy over everybody. I prophesied over like 3 people this whole weekend. They all prophesied. Why am I going to rob them of that? And you know, there are some of you that need to step up. There are some of you that need to sit down. And I'm learning more and more how to sit down. I just like to step up. I just have to kind of like go, come on, Alice, sit down. Because I do like to step up. And that's okay. That's okay. That's who I am. And that's okay. I'm finding out what I weigh. And it's fun to do it in that way. And I'm seeing things in our church. I'm seeing people come forward that I've known for years. And I'm seeing what God is stirring in their hearts as they have this amazing revelation that they weigh the same as the most powerful minister in our church. And it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun. We have some bumps. We have some things. But I tell you, we, on Thursday morning, some of the leadership, including almost always Diane, we soak in my office. And my office just gets full of oily goodness. So good. It's so good. It's so, we have revelation. The Lord is teaching me how to draw prophetically as I soak in that place. Because here's what I found out. I'm not always very good at just doing the, you know, people just go, okay, soaking in the Lord and just be passed out for two hours. And I'm like, I don't even like this. So then I had this great revelation to start doing it like I would do it. What a concept! Because again, as I learn how much I weigh, then I learn who I am. And now I can do it like I do it. I am a word person. I'm a word person. I love the word. That's very relaxing to me. So I'm drawing. I got these great revelations. Let me give you one revelation that I got while I was doing this. This has nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Do you all care? Good. Okay, you don't have to turn here. I'll just explain it because this is one short verse. But if you're a visual learner, it's in Job 39. And the Lord has been speaking to me a lot about the cosmos and about the planets. And it's just been delightful. I can just get lost in that. It's so amazing. And I've been, and he's, a couple years ago, it was everything about the brain. Now it's everything about planets and the cosmos. It's just so cool when he gives me that. So one day, it was before Christmas, and we're in my office, and I'm learning, okay, I can draw, I can do scripture. And then I tried to draw like our best artist in the church. And guess what? I found out I can't draw like her. But I can draw like me, and I'm getting better. It still is just slightly above stick people, but it's better stick people, and it isn't even about the art. It's about what it says. So we're in there, and it's before Christmas, and the Lord keeps giving me all this stuff about mangers and the cosmos and the planets, and I'm going to go back, actually, to chapter 38, and I love... This is hysterical to me, when God comes and gets sarcastic with Job. That's very funny, because, you know, you just think, well, God, don't you know that sarcasm means tearing of the flesh? But he gets totally sarcastic with him, because he said, were you there? Were you there? Huh? Were you there? This is the oldest book. They believe it's the oldest book written, you know, in Scripture. And says, you know, were you there? Who, Job, enclosed the seas with doors? When bursting forth, it went out from the womb. When I made a cloud its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, I'm in 38:10. And I placed boundaries on it. And I set a bolt and doors. And I said, thus far you shall come, but no farther. And here shall your proud waves stop. Have you ever in your life commanded the morning, Job? And caused the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the ends of the earth and the wicked be shaken on it. It keeps going on, and he says, have you done this? Have you done this? Have you done this? And he talks about the Pleiades and Orion, and he talks about these constellations and all of this sort of thing. And he says, and we're in verse 31 of chapter 38, can you bind the chains of the Pleiades or loose the cords of Orion, talking about star constellations? Can you lead forth a constellation in its season and guide the bear with her satellites? And he goes on and on. And, you know, I would imagine that after a point, Job might be feeling microscopic. And he said, were you there? Did you do this? Who do you think you are? I got a plan. I'm on this, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, and the three or four were in there with me, and I start to sob. Because he shows me this in chapter 39. He begins to talk about the animals that he created and how they function and all of this sort of thing. You know, God wants to tell you secrets. He so wants to tell you secrets. He wants to tell you stuff. Can you imagine this? That nobody in the history of humanity has ever known. Let that soak into you. That's amazing. You, little old you. He wants to tell you stuff. So this is what he told me. I've never heard this taught anywhere. Maybe there are 45 books. I don't know, Janine, are there 45 books written about this? Tell me, I don't know. But this is what he showed me. So he's talking about all of these animals, and then he says, the Creator God, the God of the universe, in the oldest book written, he says this in verse 9. Will the wild ox consent to serve you, or will he spend the night at your manger? The Creator of the universe prophesying his coming to earth as a baby. The specifics of the wild ox being there and being in a manger. So cool. So beautiful, such a wow to me. And what was extra cool to me, I was drawing in my journal. At that moment, I was drawing, and I started to draw, and I always go back kind of the same colors. I'm like, okay, let's have, but that's what he wants me to do. So I'm drawing, and all of a sudden, before I hit this, I'm drawing, I'm like, look, it's the Star of Bethlehem. I didn't know that was in my hand. Look, it's a Star of Bethlehem. So then I start drawing, and all of my art, I found out, because I'm learning to do art like Alice would do art, all of my art, my prophetic art, includes words. Fine, I'm a words person. I get this, I write scripture down, I put the reference down that I'm getting. So I'm drawing, I'm writing, so you know, did you do the Pleiades? Did you start the morning? Did you do all this, Job? Did you do this? And I just got this all going. And then I start, because now I see I've got the Star of Bethlehem going here. And then so I draw the manger. And then he gives me this about the wild ox. I've never seen that before. So exciting. And then I asked Max about it in his Russian Bible, and he says it says unicorn in their Bible. Janine, I want you to know, Janine, I am a good student. I came home and pulled my Strongs, and you know what it says in Strongs? It says ox. I'm like, unicorn? I'm getting a unicorn for my nativity set. I don't know. It's my Russian nativity set. What? With witches. With witches, yeah. Yeah, we know about that. Yes, I have to say, at the first year, Brian and Renee and Josiah went at the Christmas time. Their Christmas in January 7th. They're going to do skits out in the villages. I love to go out in the villages. And so when we were in the planning meeting, they said, Alice, would you be the witch in the Christmas play? I said no. But they had a witch in the Christmas play. Brian was, I can't remember what they call him, not Santa Claus, but Father Christmas. And Renee, of course, was Father Christmas's granddaughter, which seems suspect to me, but who knew? And Josiah, of course, was the Christmas dragon. And this whole thing was complete with fairies and pirates. And you'll be happy to know that all of the pirates and the witches got saved at the end of every performance. So, praise the Lord. You know, God works within cultures. We just get so bound up. I mean, you know, that's freakish to me. I work in deliverance healing ministry. I'm like, no fairies at church. I was like, don't even ask. But God works within cultures. He knows what we know. He knows what we don't know. He knows how much we weigh. And if we have Jesus in us, we weigh what Jesus weighs. Even if we don't have revelation of it. How many of you want revelation of what you weigh? Do you want that? I do. Mine is ever increasing, but I'm not there yet. I don't think we'll be there until eternity, and then who knows? Maybe in eternity, that's just another thing that happens. I don't know. Do you know what? You can fix this later if you need to, Pastor Dave. I am very willing to experiment with the Spirit of God. Can I say that at your church? I'm very willing to experiment with the Spirit of God, because if we're having church as usual, and if we're just determined to be nice church, we will not be powerful church. We will not be overcoming church. We will not be revivalist church that will take us into another generation where your children and your grandchildren have gone beyond the experience and the experiments that you have had. Yesterday in prayer, it was so amazing. One of the young leaders of Youth Alive was in prayer, and she said this. She said, and Lord, she's talking about beyond imagination. And this is what I saw. And I think we're going to do this today. This is what I saw. I saw a hand come out of everybody's head. Some of them were only as far as this. Some of them were farther. Some of them were farther. Some of them were farther. Some of them were stretched way out. And the Lord says, that's imagination. And then out of the heavenlies, the Lord reached down. Would you give me your hand, Dave? The Lord reached down and grabbed beyond imagination. Isn't that beautiful? I'm going to do that prophetically. Can we do that? If Brian, my friend, can pour grape juice over his shirt, we can do this. This will cause no damage to your clothing, your laundry. Would you all stand? I want you to reach beyond imagination as far as you want your faith to take it. Close your eyes, dance, sing. I don't care what you do. But Father, we invite you. We invite you, Lord. We invite you, Lord, to pull us beyond imagination. We invite you, Lord. We want to go beyond where our brains can take us and into the heavenlies. Pull us along, Father, your irresponsible, lovely children. Pull us along. And we receive it beyond imagination, beyond belief. Oh, how he loves you and me. Oh, how he loves you and me. We thank you, Jesus. Just receive whatever it is he's given to you. There's something going on here. He's doing something. And Father, we proclaim, even in this place, beyond imagination, Father, that we could let go of sickness, of pain, we could let go of financial issues, relational issues, and we would be unencumbered with those things that will hold us back to go beyond imagination. Lord, forgive us when we've stopped short with just our thinking. Forgive us when we've thought too small for your kingdom to come. Forgive us, Lord. We want to go beyond our imaginations. For our children, whether spiritual or natural, for our grandchildren, for those that we minister to, for those who minister to us. Lord, give us supernatural revelation about how much we weigh. Give us supernatural revelation of how tall we are. We want more, Lord. We need more. We want to go beyond where we are, Lord. And help us not to be afraid to experiment with the Holy Spirit, not to be afraid of dire consequences if we get it wrong. I just say to you right now, Lord, we're going to get it wrong. How are you with that? And I thank you, Father. Thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Go ahead and be seated. I have 5 minutes. How is this possible? That's God's math. Okay. Well, I'm going to give you these 4 pages now. 4 minutes. I did a full-day conference yesterday in an hour. Praise the Lord. I don't know what he's doing. I'm going to honor the time because that's a good idea. Where are we going here, Lord? He's doing some good stuff. Some good stuff. Oh, there's an understatement. Hey, God's doing some good stuff.
Yeah. So, when you're saying that. Well, when you're saying that God was doing some stuff, I just started seeing Jesus come in a horse. Like, it happened at the prophetic conference too a while ago, but he was just walking around the room and just weaving between people. And right as he walked by me and my friend, she said, "Do you feel that wind?"
Wow. And you felt that again today?
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Yay, God. Yay, God. I'm gonna leave you with a nugget. I've got lots here, but I'm going to leave you with a nugget. Let's read John 2, starting with 23. I can't promise 11:30, but thereabouts, okay? Oh, by the way, I'm learning in Wisconsin. I have, in the 30 years that I've lived in Minnesota, I have never once been invited to a Vikings party. I am very often invited to a Packers party, and I could care less about football, and I went one time, and now I think I'm uninvited. Because it was like, Science Mystery Theater. Do you know Science Mystery Theater? Where they show those bad B movies and then the guy and the two robots are in front making comments? Well, I'm uninvited. It was Science Mystery Theater all over again because I don't care. But I am going to get a Packers sweatshirt and wear it for some big event. I don't know. You have to tell me, Diane, what the big event is for. Who knew? I mean, I don't even know if I would have gone if that would have been that much, if I would have known about the pressure on that. No, I'm kidding. I have an amazing church. They take care of me. They do. They take care of me. Even I'm going to tell you a funny story. I mean, this is just like friends talking. So forgive me if you wanted just to come and hear this thing. But this is just friends talking, okay? So I'm in my office at night. It's about 7 o'clock. Everybody else is gone. I have a beautiful office. I have a fireplace in my office, a whole wall of shelves that sometimes I look at my books and go, I need to read all those. But I'm learning to become irresponsible. So I'm sitting there minding my own business, comfortably dressed in a sweatshirt and jeans. And all of a sudden, I'm feeling something rather suspicious on my leg. And I realize, much to my horror, a mouse has just run up my pant leg. You probably heard the scream. And I stood up, and no kidding, I'm such an extrovert, I cannot do this by myself. I texted Diane, did I text you or call you? I texted Diane, because I got to lift somebody here. Nope, can't, no. And I call Susie, my admin, and she doesn't answer the phone. I call Phyllis. I'm just like, I tell Phyllis, and she goes, okay, that's it. They're not taking care of you. I'm coming to get you. And the next day, my beloved brother Tom came, and I'm telling you, there was war on mice because I had a letter of resignation. They thought I was tougher than that. Diane, however, is the mouse killer. We're in ministry. I'm sorry. This is funny to me. I just had this profound thing, but here it is. Anyway, I don't know why. We just have to do family stuff. Are we okay with that, Pastor? So I'm in ministry with Diane. It's one of my training sessions in this new model, and we're ministering to a man, and I see him go like this all of a sudden. I'm going, oh, great, he's manifesting. I hope Diane's got this. And he's going. And the mouse just ran clear across there. The male intercessor and I both squealed and moved back, and Diane goes and gets the broom, you know. It's like, okay, that was the end of my soaking on the floor. I'm done. But God in his goodness, I live in an old house. The back end of it is a 1953 cabin. The front end is an 83 built on. And by God's grace, I have not one mouse. And I am so blessed. Anyway, I don't know why I'm even talking about this, but I miss you guys. I just want to, you know, it's okay. Okay. And Dwayne is my killer mouse man here. I called him when I lived right over here and said, Dwayne, you got to come. There's a mouse caught in my trap and still alive. And I left, and Dwayne came on more than one occasion, if I remember right. So I didn't want to get that word out, Dwayne, in case people are squeamish and then start calling you, and then that becomes your ministry. I don't know. Oh, you do. Another fruit of this good, good life here in Elk River, Minnesota. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm glad I could be helpful in that. Oh, how he loves you and me. Okay. Lord, you're funny. So funny. I'm going to make this point. I really am. Okay. Well, the Lord is. Okay. John 2, chapter, verse 3. 23. What am I saying? Where am I? John 2, verse 23. I'm a little bit drunk. Really? Okay. Now, when he, Jesus, was in Jerusalem at the Passover during the feast, many believed in his name, beholding his signs, which he was doing. But Jesus, on his part, was not entrusting himself to them, for he knew all men. And because he did not need anyone to bear witness concerning man, for he himself knew what was in man. Here's the nugget. This is what the Lord's speaking to me. You know, I think if I'm going to ask you this question, just develop an answer in your head, okay? Don't need to tell me because there are all kinds of answers. Here's the question. Why did Jesus come? Okay, get your answers in your head. You know, came to destroy the works of the enemy, all kinds of things, you know, things going through your head right now. This is what the Lord's speaking to me, and it's so simple. It's like, yeah. God created them, man and woman, humanity. And just as it says here, Jesus knew what was in man because he made him human. He made us human. He made us human. And just the simplest way the Lord is speaking to me, there's one reason he came. He came for our humanity because he knows humanity's messed up. That's why he came. He made us human. I mean, it's such a duh, but come on, you're getting revelation out of this. It's a simple, simple thing. And this is what the Lord was showing me. I have worked with a lot of people. I've worked with pedophiles. I tell you, Alice in the Natural can't do that. I've worked with murderers. I've ministered to people who have horrendous backgrounds. And I tell you, I had supernatural grace for all of them. I did. And I'm like patting myself on the back until people say, "What's wrong with your arm?" I think I got that from patting myself on the back, you know. And this is what the Lord began to speak to me. He said, "You have grace for that. But you have grace for a category of those who should know better. You're lacking grace for those who should know better." I was so convicted. I was so convicted. And he began to speak to my heart about those that I've categorized deserve my grace and those I've categorized don't deserve my grace. And I want to be like Jesus and see out of his eyes and have the revelation that everybody gets the grace. Because you know what? If you're honest, you would probably say that you don't give grace across the board. And I remember growing up and hearing in church when, you know, the ladies at Ladies' Aid, I loved Ladies' Aid even when I was a kid. I'd be the only kid at Ladies' Aid. And then, you know, all the old ladies wanted to sit by me. It was really fun. And I eat all the buns they made. And I remember they would say, "Well, you know, Pastor Mervin, he fell from grace." Yes, he did. And then they would tell me the sins of Pastor Mervin. Well, falling from grace means that you embrace the law instead of grace. It doesn't mean that you screwed up and sinned. It means you chose the law over grace. I choose grace. I choose grace. And not only for myself. Oh, ask me if I embrace grace for myself. Oh, yes, I do. But the revelation of my categorizing those who deserve my grace and those who don't. Oh, how proud, how back patting I became about giving grace to the unlovely. And the Lord so convicted my heart about leaders, about people who've been in Christ for a long time, about those I categorize as those who know better. And I want to challenge you even today, if there are any places in your life where even the leadership here, that you've forgotten how to give grace to Bob and Dave's humanity, to the elders and the wives' humanity, for your husband's humanity, for your wife's humanity. Oh, how he loves you and me. It boils down to this. He came because of your humanity. Because that's how you were made. Full of all of the flaws, full of all of the issues, full of all of that. So good. And I'm going to end on this. If you're willing to stand And we're just going to do a little work with the Father and repent for those times that we've categorized those who deserve our grace, including us, because some of you don't give grace to yourself. So if you're willing to, would you stand to your feet? And I'm just going to lead you in a prayer, and we're going to end there. Thank you, Lord. And I'm not going to ask you to repeat this. At the end, I'm just going to say, I agree, yes and amen, whatever you want to say. So you can really concentrate on what the Lord is showing you, what he's doing in your heart, if he shows you pictures or whatever. So however you want to do it, if you want to open your hands to him, close your eyes, however you want to do it. Lord, today, I ask that you would forgive me for being graceless about grace, for being judgmental in who I offer grace to, for being proud of giving grace, for thinking I've done something so good. Forgive me for patting myself on the back about being graceful, and I haven't been graceful at all. Forgive me, Lord God, for those times that I have not been gracious to those I think should know better, to leadership, to myself, to people in pain. Forgive me, Lord, for not seeing through your eyes, for turning away and seeing through my eyes. Forgive me for that. Forgive me for being ungracious to people who don't know the things I know, who don't have the revelation I have. Forgive me for lacking grace for those closest to me, because I want them to be perfect. Forgive me for forgetting that you came for humanity. I repent for that, Lord. And I ask, Lord, for your grace today, your mercy today, as I receive your forgiveness. And we love you, Jesus. And even as we end, if you just say to the Father, I agree, or amen, or whatever you want to say. Bless you all. Thank you for letting me come. It's only 4 hours, Highway 8. Between here and there. Skip and a jump. Thank you.
This was just, there are times where we just need to lighten up and be a little bit less religious. Sorry, am I turned off? How's that? Better? Yeah, there's times where we just need to lighten up and be a little bit less religious, and it's just good. Thank you, Ellis. You are just a blessing to this house still. Yeah. Now, we will have some teams up here. Some of you just need to laugh. And we'll have people up here that can just release some joy into you. If you need physical healing, if you need some kind of agreement, somebody to stand in agreement with you, come on up. Alice will.
And if you need a hug.
Alice will give hugs, free hugs. She doesn't charge for them,
no.
Like Dwayne, you know.
No, wait a minute. I'm a missionary. I might.
Yeah, but feel free to come on up. There's coffee out in the lobby. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Amen.